May God be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews, who were with her in the house consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of Christ.
To God, all-loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is a looming sadness that is triggered in me when I hear the story of Lazarus at this time. I know the story is about life. I can't deny that it has a great ending, but I still feel sadness. I think it's because it takes so dang long to get to the joyful ending. Did you notice that? Jesus, the great healer and friend of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, sure takes his time getting to them. He is told that his friend, someone he loves, is sick and decides to stay where he is for a couple more days. No rushing to the bedside, no text message, no thinking of you Hallmark card. And then when he does finally arrive, it's too late. Lazarus is dead. We can feel the heartbreak of his friends. "Lord, if only you had been here," cries Martha. "Lord, if only you had been here," cries Mary. Couldn't he who opened the eyes of the man born blind have helped Lazarus, whom he loved? Asked the crowd around him. Even Jesus himself is moved by their grief. Even his heart breaks. Even Jesus weeps. So why did it take so long? Why wasn't he there to help from the start? It's like that great story of the disciples on the boat. The waves get choppy, the winds howl, everyone is despairing of life itself, and where is Jesus? Asleep, with a pillow tucked under his head. Come on! Maybe I'm triggered by this story because I am tired. I miss my friends. I miss my family. I miss going into the church. I am now absolutely certain I would not make a good elementary school teacher or daycare provider. How long until Jesus shows up and stops this pandemic so I can get back to living my life? Has anyone else felt the slowness of time these last few weeks? It's like Advent waiting for Christmas, but instead of Jesus being born or enjoying stuffing with gravy or opening presents, we're waiting for the worst of COVID-19, which is yet to come. The worst is yet to come. It's a terrible Advent. I wonder if you've seen this meme, this joke going around the internet. This month has been the longest year of my life. Why do we have to wait so long to see God's life? Of course, it's always like this. God is more like a seed that slowly grows. More like yeast in bread that takes its time to spread. More like a shepherd wandering for days in the wasteland searching for a lost sheep. Think of some of the great stories handed down to us. Lazarus' story sure fits well in our tradition. Think of creation. God made this world. It's a beautiful world. It's a good world. And boy, oh boy, did it ever take a long time to create. 6 days, or using more literal language, billions and billions of years. Did life come? Yes. Did it take time? Yes. Think of Noah and his family in the ark. 40 days and 40 nights it rained. And then the water remained for 150 days afterward. And then it took another 150 days for it to disappear. 340 days cooped up in an ark with wild animals. Puts my week of solitary confinement with my children into perspective. Maybe my kids aren't so hard to care for. Did life eventually come again? Yes. In the form of an olive branch in the mouth of a dove. Did it take time? Yes. Think of the ancient children of Israel. Enslaved for 400 years in Egypt. Did life come? Yes, in the form of Moses and Aaron, Did it take time to find freedom? Yes. 400 years is too long for people to be in slavery. 1 second is too long for a person to be enslaved. But life did come. Think of the ancients wandering the desert. 40 years they wandered until they came to the rest of the promised land. Did life come? Yes. Did it take time? Of course, it always takes time. Now think of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Jesus proclaimed it, and 2,000 years later, we still work and pray for it. Will the kingdom of God come? Yes. Is it taking time? Of course it is. The story of Lazarus is part of this spiritual heritage. God will bring life, but it takes time. And when it does eventually come, it almost always comes in unexpected ways. There is always a twist to how God brings life. Again, think of Noah and his family building a boat in a desert. That's nuts. Think of enslaved Israel. God brings life through Moses the murderer and faithless Aaron who built a golden calf. That's risky. Think of the quarreling, rebellious people marching through the desert. God brought water from rocks, rained down manna from heaven, and made the sun stand still. Yes, the sun stood still. That's epic. And think of Martha. Jesus questions whether she believes that Lazarus will live again. Martha responds faithfully, yes, at the end of time when all the faithful of God rise again, because that is the hope of all God's children, that we will rise again on the last day in the fully established kingdom of God. Jesus says to her, have I got a surprise for you? I am the resurrection and the life. Let's not wait until later. Lazarus, come forth. Life comes suddenly when we least expect it. Sometimes it is now, sometimes it is later. Yes, there's always a twist to how God brings life. Think of Mary. Jesus asks her to show him where Lazarus' tomb is. She shows him. Then he asks them to remove the stone that covered the body. She says, Lord, there will be a stench because of the decay. Don't make us look on the evidence of death. Don't make us face that which we fear the most. But Jesus says, look, see. Don't hide, don't disguise, don't obfuscate the realities of death. Face it, stare into it, breathe it in, because when you do, you will discover something greater than you could ever imagine. You will discover that goodness is stronger than evil, that love is stronger than hate, that light is stronger than darkness, that life is stronger than death. Lazarus, come forth! Life comes when we face the things we want to hide. Yes, life takes time. It is like a seed that grows slowly. Yes, life comes in surprising ways, suddenly and when we dare to gaze at the things we're most scared of. And then, when life does come, when God eventually frees us and those we love from our tombs, then the work begins. Think of Noah and his family. They need to populate the earth. Think of Moses and Aaron. They need to establish the people of God as a society with law and customs. Think of the ancient wanderers. Once they arrive at the promised land, they must go into it and build cities and plant vineyards. So too the people at the tomb of Lazarus. So too with us. When God brings life eventually, suddenly, and surprisingly, we become participants in God's healing of the world. Think of these two ways, untying people and believing. Did you catch that wonderful invitation from Jesus to those gathered around Lazarus' tomb? Untie him, Jesus says, and let him go. What does that mean? I think it means to help in tangible ways people who are experiencing new life. Think of someone finding new life out of addiction. Untying them and letting them go might be to give them a call, a text, an encouraging note, And when this is all over, the social distancing, I mean, invite them over. Feed them. Pray with them. Walk with them. Untie them and let them go. Think of someone discovering faith for the first time. How can you help them? Share with them your favorite book. Pray with them. Read scripture with them. And when this is all over, the social distancing, I mean, invite them over. Feed them. Walk with them. Untie them and on your marks get set, let them go. Think of someone reconnecting with family after being apart for so long. Think of someone learning a new way to live after being diagnosed with an illness. Think of someone who has been isolated but discovering the new life of online connections. Reach out to them, untie them, and let them fly. That is our first task. The second is like unto it. Believe. Believe. This is our sacred duty as followers of Christ. But what does it mean to believe? This is what I think it means. To believe is to hold on to those stories just mentioned. To believe is to recall creation, Noah, Moses, the wilderness wanderers, and uniting our experience of God with theirs. To believe is to trust that these stories of life, hope, help, and joy are the foundational stories of life. To believe is to resist the urge to think that Lazarus is still in his grave, that we are all still in our graves. Believing is walking forward, onward, in the life of Christ, hand in hand, elbow to elbow, face desktop to desktop with our ancestors and those yet to come, knowing that the grave, that disaster, that slavery, that valleys filled with bones, that COVID-19 does not define a community. Only God does. Through Jesus Christ, our friend and our helper. Amen.